Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belleville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Tuesday, August 2nd, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. And it's got to be way past time for me to get a new laptop. Oh my goodness, so sorry for the stuttering sounds during the playback there. I've done everything I can. All of the virus scans and malware scans and spy bot scans and uninstalls and sinking paws and everything I can think of. And still getting this problem. So we will get ourselves a new laptop as soon as possible. That, of course, depends on money, and money depends on time and time to work and all of that. So we'll get there, and thank you for your support in the meantime. Coming up on today's show, we are going to go in depth on marijuana today, a very marijuana-laden show. And we'll start things off with our Cannabis Radio News. In the headlines today, we get to go all the way out to Italy. We also take a look at changes happening in New Jersey and Alaska, Arkansas, Pennsylvania, and Ohio in our headlines coming up right after this first break. Then we'll get into our Behind the Headlines segment, where we're going to take a cannabis focus on the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, one of our U.S. territories, which is kind of flown under the radar as far as their implementation of medical marijuana. We'll give you some of the details as reported in The Cannabist today. Also coming up, we've kind of got a two-parter on our drug war data mining. In our first segment, we're going to talk about how U.S. teens, more U.S. teens are smoking pot now than binge drinking, and why that is a good thing. And we'll take a look at the use of marijuana versus the use of alcohol across the country, regional distinctions, and how one may be affecting the other. Then, after a break, we'll come back for an Across the Pond segment where we'll take that same data set and expand it to take a look at U.S. versus European teens when it comes to binge drinking and the use of marijuana. So very interesting stuff coming up, very data heavy in today's show. And then at the end of our first hour, I'm announcing the formation of a new law enforcement group. Of course, we're all very familiar with the Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, LEAP. We know about LEAP. These are the cops that go around educating the American citizens on the need to end the war on drugs. Well, I've come up with a new law enforcement group. I am calling them PWND, Police Who Need Education on Drugs, PWNED. That'll be in the Radical Rant today, where I tear apart some of their anti-Prop 64 campaign talking points that have been coming up from the Sheriff's Association and the various law enforcers that are against Prop 64 legalization in California. Then we'll take things into hour two. I told you yesterday about Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte. I've got some updates on Duterte and what's going on in the Philippines in his mad, mad descent of Southeast Asia's oldest democracy. Then we'll have some time for a couple of other bonus rants that I've written up for various outlets, one that's on Huffington Post right now. And my radical rant for High Times today, which is consider Attorney General Christie and Drug Czar Sabet. Kind of a worst case scenario of what a Trump administration might bring the marijuana reform movement. And then we'll close out hour two with another piece I've written up on this 2016 election on the comparison of magical thinking between the true legalizers out there, who always want to go against the incremental legalization plan, and the true progressives out there that want to vote against Hillary Clinton because she's just not good enough. She's just evil. It's a lot of stuff coming up on today's Russ Belleville Show. Thanks for joining us. We're back right after this.
This is the Russ Belleville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
earn your PhD in THC monetization with CannabisRadio.com. Don't be late.
While the feds and state are doing their dance, you still need to transact business and manage your cash. Go professional and let your customers pay with PayQuick. They pay you and they earn rewards points. PayQuick connects to your bank account for free and secures all of your transactions. And with PayQuick, you can pay your producers and processors for free. Plus, it pays to have it because it makes depositing your cash safe and so easy. No cops, no crooks, just compliance and comfort, knowing you have your cannabis business in check with PayQuick. PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
Educator, author, and advocate Dr. Mitch Earlywine is here to tackle the burning issues.
And I'm here to clear up the myths about cannabis and burn them away with science.
CannabisRadio.com presents a no-holds-barred platform that seeks to redefine and revolutionize the entire scope of the cannabis culture while opening the door for more to join the cannabis crusade.
Dr. Kevin Hill.
You can't ignore the fact that, like alcohol, most people who use don't have a problem, so I think that you need to think about policy in that way while educating people properly about marijuana. I think that's the way to go.
Burning Issues, only on CannabisRadio.com.
This is Dan Michaels from DanMichaelsAudio.com, and you're listening to Radical Russ on CannabisRadio.com.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Tuesday, August 2nd, 2016. Rome, Italy. After Monday's initial discussion of a bill to legalize marijuana in Italy, debate will continue in September, where the measure faces over 1,300 amendments filed by the opposition. The proposal, backed by Prime Minister Matteo Renzi's Democratic Party, would legalize personal possession of up to 5 grams of marijuana and home possession of 15 grams and cultivation of 5 plants. Collectives of up to 50 growers would be legal, but private sales forbidden. State-licensed growers would supply a state-run system of cannabis sales. Opponents of the measure include the Roman Catholic Church. Pope Francis has consistently opposed liberalization of drug laws, telling a reform conference in 2014 that, quote, "Attempts, however limited, to legalize so-called recreational drugs are not only highly questionable from a legislative standpoint, but they fail to produce the desired effects," end quote. Deputy Maurizio Lupi, an opponent in Parliament who opposes the measure because it, quote, "sends the message that anyone can freely smoke a spliff," end quote. Trenton, New Jersey. Republican Governor Chris Christie will decide whether New Jersey residents with post-traumatic stress disorder can be treated with medical marijuana after lawmakers approved a measure Monday. The state Senate on Monday approved the measure previously approved by the Assembly that allows marijuana to be used to treat PTSD if it's not treatable with conventional therapy. A growing number of states are weighing whether to legalize marijuana to treat post-traumatic stress disorder, but many veterans are increasingly using cannabis even though it remains illegal in most states and is unapproved by the Department of Veterans Affairs because major studies have yet to show it is effective against PTSD. Anchorage, Alaska. An outgoing official involved with the legalization process in Alaska says the state isn't, quote, "really serious about making this happen," end quote. Bruce Schultz was removed from the 5-member Alaska Marijuana Control Board on Friday by Governor Bill Walker. Schultz had previously served as the board's chair, but was demoted from that position earlier this year. Quote, "There's an underlying agenda to subvert the process," says Schultz, "to delay the implementation of a legalized marijuana industry," end quote. A spokesperson for the governor denied the allegation, saying instead that Schultz was terminated simply for performance reasons. Little Rock, Arkansas. Attorney General Leslie Rutledge has rejected a proposed constitutional amendment for the 2018 ballot that would legalize Arkansas marijuana in the state. The proposal by Mary Berry of Summit would allow for the cultivation, production, distribution, sale, possession, and use of the cannabis plants and all products taken from the plant, including marijuana. Rutledge wrote an opinion released Monday that the proposal is being rejected because of ambiguities in the text, including whether or not a license is required, whether taxes are allowed, and whether a parent could provide medical marijuana to a minor child. Rutledge in April approved a similar ballot proposal by Berry for the November 2016 election. Rutledge spokesman Judd Deer said Monday's rejection does not affect the 2016 proposal. State College, Pennsylvania. The Borough Council in State College, home to the Penn State University, voted to treat personal marijuana possession as a civil violation, removing the threat of arrest and criminal records. The new rule passed in a 5-2 vote Monday. The rule treats possession of up to 30 grams of cannabis or 8 grams of hashish as a municipal summary offense. The fine for the marijuana infraction will be $250, with a $350 fine for public use. Logan, Ohio. Residents of the Ohio city of Logan, a small town of roughly 7,000 residents, an hour's drive southeast of Columbus, will vote on marijuana depenalization this fall. Officials with the Hocking County Board of Elections certified enough valid signatures from a group called Sensible Logan to place the measure before the voters. Last year, a similar ordinance lost with just 43% of the vote. Logan voters may repeal municipal codes criminalizing possession and cultivation of cannabis. The new law would treat possession of up to 200 grams as a minor misdemeanor and over that amount as a fifth-degree felony, but neither charge would carry fines or prison time, but those crimes would remain part of one's permanent record. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Tuesday, August 2nd, 2016. I'm Russ Belville.
Forwarding the cause of legalization and research of the growing cannabis industry, one podcast at a time. The Cannabis Radio Network.
Dr. Dabber, hurry! Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct! Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat, more vapor.
NARML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs. You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Your grapefruits are no match for my Trump Towers.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
The world of cannabis is evolving at a frenetic pace. The Russ Belville Show gets behind the headlines to take a deeper look at breaking news in our Cannabis Focus.
Today in the Cannabis Focus, we take a look at the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, one of our five U.S. territories, and its progress on medical marijuana. There's a great piece in The Cannabist today that discusses this. And Puerto Rico has come along very quickly and much under the radar of most observers here in the marijuana reform movement. It was May of 2015 when the governor there issued an executive order to legalize medical use of cannabis. At the time, he said, quote, We're taking a significant step in the area of health that is fundamental to our development and quality of life. I am sure that many patients will receive appropriate treatment that will offer them new hope. So it's May of 2015, an executive order that nobody was expecting. So throughout the rest of 2015, they worked on putting together a regulatory framework. By January 2016, January of this year, those rules got finalized. The officials made it a medical marijuana program where cannabis could be used in pill, cream, patch, and oral form. No smoking, strict anti-smoking, no herb, no bud. So Puerto Rico is moving ahead with the latest medical marijuana model. New York, Minnesota, Pennsylvania. You wanted your marijuana to be medical. Okay, we're going to make it medical. You don't smoke medicine. So people are getting exactly what they wanted. But anyway, they started this in January 2016. By March, just 2 months later, the governor in Puerto Rico was telling the territory they should move forward with regular old recreational legalization. In his final public address, he said the legislature should move to legalize cannabis or at least approve a 2013 bill to decriminalize. Pretty amazing how quickly this is moving ahead. The qualifying conditions under the Puerto Rican regulations would be cancer, HIV, AIDS, Crohn's, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, Hep C, anxiety, PTSD, among others. There's inclusions in the law that the dispensaries have to have a minimum of 2 security guards, no smoking allowed, a system of seed-to-sale tracking to prevent dispensary hopping. And like some of the more recent laws, like in New Jersey and Minnesota and so forth, the doctors have to register. The dispensary can provide a 30-day supply to a patient, and doctors have to go undergo six-hour courses and have applications to be able to register to dispense or to recommend the medical cannabis. This is, of course, in the background of the financial problems they're having, a big debt issue that they've got in Puerto Rico, just barely rescued from the brink of bankruptcy by our Senate recently. So there's a lot of desire for economic assistance. And the medical marijuana industry there is something that they're looking at as something that help generate jobs, generate revenue in this economy, and tourism, believe it or not, because there's a reciprocity provision in the Puerto Rico medical marijuana regulations. That would mean anybody who's got a medical marijuana card in the United States from any one of the now 25 states that have medical marijuana would be able to go to Puerto Rico. Now, understand, that's not going to cover you for carrying flower since it's a non-smoking territory. They don't allow patients. There is no such thing as medical cannabis that you smoke. But at least if you're using tinctures or oils, anything like that, you'd be able to travel. You'd be able to go to Puerto Rico and be safe having your medical cannabis card with that reciprocity. So the people on the island are expecting that this could be a sort of a medical tourism option, an option for many of these patients who can't go to other Caribbean destinations to enjoy themselves because of the uncertainty of whether or not their medicine is going to be legal. Jamaica, I suppose, but aside from that, it could be quite difficult. So we're hoping that can help the folks in Puerto Rico who've been struggling with such a terrible economic burden recently, a $399 million debt payment that they have missed. They've already got $70 billion worth of total debt that they're having to deal with. If medical cannabis can put any sort of dent in that situation, all the better for the people of Puerto Rico. This will be Puerto Rico and Guam and the Northern Mariana Islands. Mariana Islands are voting on legalization. Guam already has medical marijuana. We're still waiting to help out American Samoa and the U.S. Virgin Islands.
I am so full of anticipation that my genitals have sucked up into my body cavity.
Well, I'm happy to see you too. It's 4:20 in Denver, Colorado. Time for us to take our mandated safety briefing. I hope you're feeling safe out there. I'm feeling pretty safe. When we come back, we'll have some drug war data mining on U.S. teens and binge drinking versus pot smoking.
Next to THC and CBD, you can now add CBR to your cannabis vernacular. CBR as in cannabisradio.com.
Play as Ted Growing, expelled botany sophomore and the biggest grower in town, only on Weed Firm Replanted. Available on the App Store and Google Play.
It's a lot of work being the biggest grower in town. Maintaining a room full of plants while dealing with a slew of eccentric customers, from a hardcore partier to the curious neighbor next door.
Is anybody home?
Help me expand my bud business by unlocking new strains, customizing my grow room, and completing challenges that you can't get enough of. Grow your empire so big you can see it from space. Low on funds? Don't worry. Weed Firm Replanted is free to download.
Download Weed Firm Replanted for free on the App Store and Google Play today. Get growing, Mr. Growing.
Welcome to Cannabis Confidential. I'm your host, Dr. Dina. We've got David Faustino on the line, Bud Bundy from Married with Children. Did you feel nervous being a celebrity walking into a weed store?
I don't remember at all being like, ooh, I'm scared someone's going to take my picture here.
What are they going to say? Bud Bundy smokes bud? I mean, come on.
It wouldn't be a big shocker. Hey, this is David Faustino, and I'm on Cannabis Confidential with my girl Dr. Dina on CannabisRadio.com.
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while and share.
Don't want to spend money on a night out, but don't know what to do other than watching TV or playing video games? Consider playing guitar, bass, banjo, or mandolin. The instrument will give you hours of entertainment with friends with minimal expense. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Promoting the end of adult cannabis prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It's even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more on this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Welcome back, everybody. Today in the Data Mines, we take a look at some information that is posted today by a website called ProjectKnow.com. That's K-N-O-W, ProjectKnow. On high school student substance abuse, United States and Europe. And a lot of this is coming from data that we find in the National Survey on Drug Use and Health. And the big headline coming across the media today is that more students in the United States, more young people, age 12 to 17, are using marijuana than are binge drinking. Now, binge drinking is defined in the federal surveys as for males having five or more drinks, standard drink size being a 12-ounce beer, 5-ounce glass of wine, or a 1-ounce shot. Having five or more drinks at one sitting. For females, four or more drinks at one sitting. So for the first time, they've been surveying this, and they've been doing so for, you know, going on 40 years now. They're finding that more kids would rather smoke pot than binge drink. And as far as I'm concerned, this is great news. Binge drinking can kill you. Binge drinking leads to teenagers making all sorts of terrible decisions, unplanned pregnancies, car wrecks, whatever else you might want to throw at me here. Pot smoking among the teenagers is not going to have that detrimental effect. This is not to say that anyone's encouraging young people to smoke pot. All it is saying is that if they're going to be using a substance, wouldn't we all be better off if it was the safer one? So some of the numbers in here, they find that 7%
of youth aged 12 to 13 took an illegal drug in the past year. Wow, 7% of 12 and 13-year-olds. 5.6% reported drinking alcohol. So they compared some of this data, and what they found is they made this great map of where marijuana is more popular than binge drinking. And interestingly enough, now you wouldn't be surprised to find that marijuana is more popular in the West and the Southwest. You know, Washington, Oregon, California, Arizona, these states that are going to be voting on legalization, Alaska, Hawaii, Western states. And you wouldn't be surprised to find a lot of the Northeastern states in there, the New England states, Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, New York. But interestingly enough, in addition to the Great Lakes states, most of them, aside from Wisconsin, which of course is a huge drinking state, but all the rest, Minnesota and Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, marijuana is more popular. Again, not too surprising because there we also see a smattering of the medical marijuana states. In other words, mostly where marijuana is more popular than binge drinking is also where medical marijuana or legalization has happened, with one big surprise. The South. Almost all of the South. We're talking the whole eastern South, you know, starting from D.C., Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, North and South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, and Mississippi. Alabama is kind of an outlier here. All those southern states have more marijuana use than they have binge drinking. So that's quite interesting because, you know, we've, of course, the South, the hardest place to break through when it comes to our marijuana reforms. Now, they compared this also. They found, they put together a map of where binge drinking is happening. This is monthly binge drinking rates and where they're most and least popular. And they did the same for marijuana use, monthly marijuana use rates. And they managed to make one for the monthly cocaine use and monthly illicit prescription drug use, your oxys and stuff like that. And one thing stands out really quickly, really clear, is that if we really want to create an American policy that leads to far, far less use of drugs and alcohol, then we shouldn't be legalizing weed, medicalizing weed, or prohibiting weed. We should convert to Mormonism. Because when you look at all these maps, Utah stands way out compared to all the rest of the states. Looking at the binge drinking rates, when you look at the binge drinking rates for the states, and I'm looking at states around Utah, 18%, 19%, California, 14%, 13% here and there, 14% in Nebraska, the lowest rates you find, 13% in Georgia, 15% in South North Carolina, 14% in Maine. That's as low as you find their binge drinking rates, 14, 13, 14, 15%. And then you get to Utah where it's 6%. 6%. Wow. Same thing goes for the marijuana use. When you look around the states, and this is by high school students, and you look around most of them, you're finding, you know, the lowest rates you find, 15%, 16%, 12% in Nebraska, 11% in Iowa are some of the lower rates. Utah? 8%. 8% compared. So they've got these maps color-coded, right? And so the darker blue is the more binge drinking, and the darker green is the more pot smoking. And so Utah is almost white on both of these maps. And it continues when you look at the other ratings for the other drugs. In the case of cocaine use, Utah comes in second at 4%. Nebraska was lowest at 3%. And when it comes to illicit prescription drug use, Utah came in second. Missouri was lowest at 8%. Utah was like at 9%. So, folks, if you want to reduce the use of drugs by kids across the country, it's time to break out the Book of Mormon, I guess. When we come back, we're going to go across the pond and take a look at these same sorts of numbers with respect to Europe. See how things are different or the same.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Keep your cannabis cravings under control. Feed your mind with CannabisRadio.com.
While the feds and state are doing their dance, you still need to transact business and manage your cash. Go professional and let your customers pay with PayQuick. They pay you and they earn rewards points. PayQuick connects to your bank account for free and secures all of your transactions. And with PayQuick, you can pay your producers and processors for free. Plus, it pays to have it because it makes depositing your cash safe and so easy. No cops, no crooks, just compliance and comfort, knowing you have your cannabis business in check with PayQuick. PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
Hi, I'm Montel Williams. Most of you know me as a talk show host, but I'm also an author, actor, single father of four, avid snowboarder, and I'm also a medical marijuana patient. Living with multiple sclerosis, I'm in pain every day. Medical marijuana is my last resort, and it helps me when all other drugs have failed. If you'd like more information about medical marijuana, you can contact the Marijuana Policy Project at mpp.org or call 1-877-JOIN-MPP.
You can find Radical Russ online everywhere. Gmail, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, SoundCloud, Snapchat, LinkedIn, and Boise State University's 2400 baud modem bulletin board system from 1985.
Coming soon to a city near you, Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. Get all your cannabis accounting, legal, and compliance questions answered by their knowledgeable panel of industry experts who want to help your cannabis business boom. Whether you're a grower, dispensary operator, or a newcomer to the field, your cannabis business needs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. For information on upcoming events, visit CannabisFinanceBootcamp.com.
One of America's leading exports over the past 50 years has been the global war on drugs. Through UN treaties, we have bent the world to accept our marijuana prohibition. Learn how our allies in Europe are fighting for their freedom as we go across the pond.
Welcome back, everybody. 32 after the hour, and we continue some of the data we were looking at from the Project Know website. That's K-N-O-W, projectknow.com. Where they have some informative graphics up with regard to teenage marijuana and alcohol use, particularly binge drinking. And we discovered that finally in America, for the first time ever, more teenagers are smoking marijuana than binge drinking, defined as five or more drinks at one sitting. These rates of binge drinking versus marijuana use. The marijuana use seems to be more popular in the places that have passed marijuana legalization and medical marijuana, the West Coast and Southwest, the Great Lakes region, the Northeast. But also, marijuana is more popular in the South, kind of surprising, leaving mostly the Intermountain West and the Great Plains states as states where more people, more teenagers are binge drinking than using marijuana. Then in comparing the rates of drug and alcohol use by the teenagers across the United States, we find that the state of Utah is the lowest in rates of binge drinking and marijuana use, far lower than the number two finishers, and second place in cocaine use and third place in prescription drug use as far as how few of their people use it. The states that have the highest abuse rates when it comes to binge drinking would be West Virginia at 24.4%. Nearly one in four high school students are binge drinking monthly in the state of West Virginia. When it comes to marijuana, the state leading the nation is New Mexico with 27.8% of their high school students, followed by Washington State at 26.7%. Cocaine is most popular among the high school students in New Mexico, again, 10.3%. And prescription drugs are most abused by high school students in Arkansas at 21.5%. Now, it's interesting to compare this with our fellow countries in Europe. The countries in Europe, when you look at the map for the binge drinking rates among high school students over the past 30 days, 27% is the number for the entire country, for the United States. 27%, more than one in four high school students is binge drinking at least once in the past month. There is only one country in Europe with a lower rate of binge drinking than the United States, and that would be Iceland at 17%. After that, every other country in Europe has far more high school drinking than the United States. The Scandinavian countries range from 35% to 48%. We get to the UK, Europe, UK, France, Germany, those areas all in the 70s, 70% of high school students drinking. Even when you get to Austria, the top number in the top rate in the Europe there, 80%. Four out of five high school students in Austria are binge drinking. Now, a lot of this owes to the fact that there's a far different set of drinking laws in Europe. In almost all of Europe, the drinking age is 18 years old. And at 18 years old, many people might still be in the last year of high school. It also makes it more likely that a younger brother or sister has an older brother or sister that can acquire alcohol for them. In Germany and surrounding countries, including Austria, where it's the 80% binge drinking rate, the drinking age is 16 if you want beer and wine. It's 18 if you want hard alcohol, what they call spirits. So it's not so surprising that United States, with a uniform drinking age of 21, has a 27% binge drinking rate among high school students, where Europe, with an almost uniform drinking age of 18, at the greatest, it's 16 in some places, like Portugal, and absolutely 16 in tiny Luxembourg, 16 years old even for hard alcohol. So it's no surprise that with those low of that low of a drinking age across Europe, we're going to see far greater monthly binge drinking by these teenagers. But there's an interesting wrinkle in this data. And that is, when you look at American drinking, the effects of American drinking versus the effect of European drinking, you find that Americans age 15 and up only drink three quarters as much alcohol as Europeans. So you add up, you know, this is not just teenagers now. We're talking about all the way up into adulthood. In America, we only drink 75% as much alcohol as Europeans do. They far outdrink us. But in America, we're far more likely to be involved in alcohol-related accidents and other alcohol-related causes. Now, there's a few theories as to why this, or hypotheses as to why this is. One, the hypothesis that the lower drinking age in Europe leads to teens, young people, drinking earlier and learning better responsibility when it comes to their use. Whereas we make them wait till 21. And so for that whole age range from 16 to 21, for 5 years, they're engaged in irresponsible drinking that's unsupervised. That's one theory. Another consideration is Europeans having much more in the way of public transportation options and having far lower blood alcohol limits for their impaired driving. So it's an interesting bit of data to look at to compare the American and the European data with respect to drinking, in that they drink far younger, far more often, and far more volume of alcohol, yet have less public damage from that, less public cost from that. In looking at the marijuana information, comparing Europe and the United States, it's also interesting to note that the United States, as a country, has a 20% average for the the use of marijuana on a monthly basis by high school students. One out of five high school students is using marijuana on a monthly basis. There's only a couple of countries that reach that level in Europe, and that would be Spain at 20% and France at 24%. For the rest of Europe, 15% is about as high as it gets, and most of them are sitting around the 10, 12% range. You get up into the Scandinavian countries, it's 2 and 3%. Go over to Iceland, it's 4%. So we find marijuana is much more popular in the United States and much more accessible. When we look at the accessibility, the United States leads the world. They've been asking high school students across the world how easy it is to access marijuana. And the percentage that report that marijuana is fairly easy or very easy to maintain to obtain comes at 68%. Now, that's all high school students, right? When you ask that of high school seniors, it hovers around 80%. But for all high school students, it's about 68% in the United States. The next highest level for easy or fairly easy is the Czech Republic at 59%. And then most of these European countries are sitting between 25 and 50% as far as their young people, their high school students, saying it's easy or fairly easy to acquire marijuana. All of this information is available on projectknow.com. That's projectknow.com. Look for their high school drug use infographics. They've also got some great links in their sources as well if you wish to do some further investigation.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
From dabs to chivas, sativas to indicas, we roll out a whole concentrate of fresh new content every week. It's like going from the greenhouse to the dispensary. CannabisRadio.com.
The cannabis industry is growing. Business is booming. And as new opportunities arise in newly legalized states, each market is getting more competitive. Today, it takes more than just being a good grower. Do you have the resources to market and handle this ever-changing business landscape? Let Canna Management Corporation help you grow your canna business with our vast resources and experience to make your business a fully functional service company. Financial management, HR, sales, marketing, efficiency, and more. CMC has the experience and the expertise to improve your business and help you better meet the demands of your clients and customers. Call Canna Management Corporation and let our team get you ready to grow. 415-269-8015. That's 415-269-8015. Or visit canna-management.com.
Tommy Chong is ready to cut through the smoke and change the tone of Tilk Radio.
You know, during Dance with the Stars, I started feeling discomfort.
Yeah.
And not only that, I was doing these old man smells. And it was kind of embarrassing because, you know, all the Dancing with the Stars crew, cast and crew, you know, they were all young kids.
Yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden, this old guy would come along and do one of those silent farts, you know, that you don't know you're doing it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you smell, and everybody go, what the hell smells? And, you know, and you knew it was me. And so I'd scurry off to the bathroom, you know, and that's when I knew that there was something wrong.
The Tommy Chong Podcast, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome to my world.
This is the Russ Belville Show, annoying Kevin Sabet since 2012.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
We must
must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
Today at the rant, I want to talk about California's Proposition 64, the Adult Use of Marijuana Act. It's a couple of stories out that discuss the funding, both for and against the measure. Yesterday, we told you of SAM Action, the Political Action Committee arm of Project SAM. That's Kevin Sabet's anti-legalization group. Well, SAM Action says that they've raised as much as $2 million to pour into defeating legalization and medical reforms in the various states that are attempting them. This is also followed by a look at the California Secretary of State's office and the money that has come in so far for and against the initiative. Now, the support of the initiative, the support of the initiative has already raised over $6.5 million, primarily from Sean Parker, the founder of Napster, the Facebook first president, who put in $2.27 million. Drug Policy Action, DPA's PAC, which put in $1.75 million. New Approach PAC, which is Peter Lewis's legacy, $1.5 million. Weed Maps from Justin Hartfield and Weed Maps, $750,000. And $250,000 from Nicholas Pritzker, one of the Hyatt Hotel heirs. So $6.5 million raised for Prop 64. Now, as far as the money raised against Prop 64, they've got what they call the Coalition for Responsible Drug Policies. That's the name of the group. And they have raised almost $160,000. Against $6.5 million. Their sources are $64,150 from SAM Action, again, Kevin Sabet's group, $25,000 from the Teamsters Union in California. Now, that's an interesting donation, the Teamsters, being against legalized marijuana. We'll have to investigate why that might be. And then $10,000 each from the California State Sheriff's Association, the Association for the Los Angeles Deputy Sheriff's State PAC, and the Los Angeles County Professional Peace Officers Association. So $30,000 from three different police outfits. And again, we don't know how much more SAM Action might be donating. $64,000 so far, but they supposedly have $2 million. The question would be, is Project SAM going to dump a whole bunch of that spending money in California, where they're almost certain to lose, where there's already, 60% in the polls? Or are they going to use that to help try to tip elections in Massachusetts and Arizona, where the polling is much more dire for legalization? Or Maine, where they might be able to swing more votes? It remains to be seen how they're going to spread that money out. I don't think all $2 million of it is going to go to California by any stretch of the imagination. But there's this great piece in the LA Times about this, and how law enforcement is lining up against Proposition 64. And it's hilarious to me because reading down the list of excuses is almost like a guidebook of all the typical standard bullet point bumper sticker talking points that you hear from prohibitionists all the time. So I figured I'd run through them. Quick rebuttal to all of these cops in something that I like to call Pwned, Police Who Need Education on Drugs, PWNED. If you don't know what pwned means, look up PWNED on the internet. Anyway, the first one, a standard smoff. We open up this piece with a standard smoff, the stoned mayhem on the freeways argument. George Hofstetter, the president for the Association of Los Angeles Deputy Sheriffs, one of those $10,000 donors, said, quote, "You hear people say it's not as bad as alcohol, but if you smoke marijuana and drive, it does impair you. I hope we can get the word out there, but there's a lot of support for it right now. End quote. So we're going to have some stone mayhem on the freeways if California legalizes, huh? But right now, when California has medical marijuana that anybody who wants to get it can get it, and dispensaries all up and down the state for the past 20 years, and yet California's fatality rate per 100 million miles driven has steadily declined over that entire time, why do you think marijuana legalization is going to change that dynamic any? Why do you think removing the need to get a permission slip from a doctor is suddenly going to make all these people start smoking and driving if they weren't already? And what do you find in Colorado, Washington, or the other states that have legalized that lead you to believe there's going to be that much more carnage on the roads? These statistics about catching more stone drivers don't wash. Just because you caught two fish on the river on Tuesday and you caught 20 fish in the river on Wednesday doesn't mean there's more fish in the river on Wednesday. It just means that you tried harder to catch them. And that's what's happening in Colorado and Washington right now. The next attempt to defend the cops spending money to defeat legalization was the Sabbat conjecture. They got a quote here from a lady named Hutchins. She's the Orange County Sheriff, who doubts that new tax revenue will offset the cost of potentially having more drivers under the influence of marijuana and more people in addiction treatment. So this is the old Sabbath conjecture that says, oh, well, for every $1 in tax we take in from alcohol and tobacco, they cost 10 times that much in drunk driving and lung cancer and all the other costs. This would be scary if it were 2011, Sheriff Hutchins, but you can actually look at how much tax money has been raised in Colorado and Washington, and it's over $200 million at this point. Now, if you can point out $200 million offsets in drivers under the influence and people in addiction treatment, I'd like to see it, because even Kevin Sabet hasn't come out with that yet. The third point they try to foist on us is the drugs are bad. Okay. That Sheriff Hutchins said she doesn't think the financial benefits are a proper basis for assessing the merits of legalization, saying, quote, even if they were making money hand over fist, to me, it's not good enough reason to legalize marijuana. Is the next thing we decide to legalize going to be methamphetamine or cocaine so that we can tax and regulate it? End quote. So this is the idea that just the drug itself is evil and bad, ignoring any other exigent circumstances, just the fact that a drug is bad, even if we made money at it. So she undercuts her previous point of doubting whether the tax revenue would actually match, you know, the cost, saying that even if the tax revenue does offset the costs, it's a bad thing. Why should we legalize marijuana? What's next, meth or coke? Well, let's look at meth and coke. Would it be better to legalize them than to leave them in the hands of criminals that don't care about addiction health or dirty needles or impure substances? Something we can talk about. The fourth point she makes, or fourth point made, John Lovell, a longtime lobbyist for Riverside Sheriff's Association, says, quote, what is incredible about this provision is that it says we don't care if you're a cocaine dealer or a heroin dealer. You can't be denied a license because of that. End quote. This is the drugs equal crime argument. The fact that somebody was involved with drugs when they were illegal means they're a criminal. They are personally a criminal. It is a part of who they are. And if we create a new licensing scheme for them to do something legally, we can't have them be a part of it because at one point they were a criminal. What they're referring to is in Prop 64, you can't deny someone a license if they had a previous controlled substance violation. And it's largely for the guys that are the dispensary owners who got previously busted for felony cultivation or something like that, trafficking, can still get their licenses. It's not meant to enrich the guy previously busted as a cocaine dealer. But if someone had been busted as a cocaine dealer, and they've served their time and they're out of jail and they're not on probation or anything like that and they're eligible to get a license, why wouldn't we want them to? Why wouldn't we want to take them out of being in an illegal market and being now a legal contributing member of society? Let's see here. The fifth argument we get here, or is it the sixth? One, two, three, four, five. Fifth argument is the one I like to call Paint It Black, in reference to the Rolling Stones tune. Sheriff Hutchins said she's been following the news out of Colorado since the state became the first to allow recreational marijuana sales 2 years ago. She noted the state still has a significant black market, and there's no reason to expect California's entrenched underground market also wouldn't persist. What kind of rationale is this? Well, since we can't eliminate the black market 100%, let's let it all be 100%. Let's keep it 100% black market. After we legalize, 10% of it may still be the black market. That's not good enough, so let's still let it be 100% black market. I've never understood that rationale. Why would you not want to be, if the black market's the bad thing and legalization reduces that, why is that not a good thing? And of course, after these five arguments, stone mayhem on the freeways, the Sabbat conjecture, drugs are bad, okay, drugs equal crime, and paint it black, you know, we'd have to wind things up with the old classic. What about the children? For God's sake, won't you people think of the children? What the hell kind of monsters are you thinking about legalizing marijuana? Had you not considered the children? The quote in the piece says, both sides argue that their biggest concern is keeping young people away from marijuana. Quote, I don't think we need one more thing to dumb down our young people and impact their motivation to do well in life, said Sheriff Hutchins from Orange County. Yes, the old amotivational syndrome argument and the IQ loss argument. The idea that, oh my God, if the kids are smoking pot, it's going to impact their motivation. They're not going to do well in school. They're going to drop out. They're going to be losers. Despite us just talking about in the previous segment how 27% of high school students are smoking pot at least once a month. What we are seeing here is the last desperate gasps of law enforcement, prohibitionist dinosaurs, working their way down, who will eventually find themselves on the ash heaps of history. They're sinking into the tar pits of irrelevance. And these are the final arguments they have. This is all they've got left in their arsenal against what is now 10 straight national polls showing majority support nationwide for marijuana legalization. I'll have that piece written up for Marijuana Politics later tonight. Police who need education on drugs, pwned. PWNED. And for now, that's all the time we got in hour one, our all marijuana hour. Stay tuned for hour two. Toker Talk Radio is coming up next, where we get a little more political. Although today I've got more marijuana stories to tell you about in hour two as well. We got an update on that Philippine President Duterte, who is killing Southeast Asia's oldest democracy. We've also got my thoughts on what a Trump presidency would mean for marijuana legalization. Consider Attorney General Chris Christie and Drug Czar Kevin Sabet. And we'll wind things up with another look at how true progressives and true legalizers share the same magical thinking. For everyone here at Cannabis Radio, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.